How do you make science fun and approachable for youth? You use hip-hop. That's the theory behind the project Science Genius Battles. Battles is an acronym. Bring attention to transforming teaching, learning, and engagement in science. Battles. The Battles are the brainchild of Dr. Christopher Emden and Wu-Tang Clan member GZA. Emden serves as an associate professor in the Department of Mathematics, Science, and Technology at Columbia University's Teachers College. And this week he spoke as part of the MSU Department of Education's CREATE Science Seminar Series. WKAR's Emmanuel Berry sat down with Emden, and she joins us in the studio now. Emmanuel, tell us more about Science Genius.
Well, this was the first year that they did it. It was a pilot project, and kids throughout all of New York, their school system wrote and performed raps covering topics like cell division, gravity, DNA, just these really kind of difficult concepts, and made these absolutely amazing raps out of them. And beyond working to make science education fun and approachable to youth through the Science Genius Battles, Emden, he also focuses his work about just connecting with youth culture in general and also expanding upon the hip-hop ed social media movement. Hip-hop ed is a Twitter hashtag. And anyone who wants to learn more about hip-hop and education and how they can use them together is welcome to kind of go to this hashtag and start a conversation and ask questions. So it's a really interesting hip-hop education movement there. But hip-hop, it wasn't always central to Emden's education strategies. He explains that he was once a very traditional teacher.
I remember my first job was in the middle school in New York City, and the first thing I wanted to do was teach like every other teacher that I had. You know, I figured that was the way to do it. So I'd teach like they taught, but I'd be cool enough where they'd want to learn stuff from me. And that, I learned rather quickly that I wasn't that cool. And then I got to a juncture where I got frustrated with teaching in a middle school, and I helped to start a small high school in New York City because I just wanted to do things differently. And in that school, at that school, Marie Curie High School in the Bronx, I really started thinking about how to be more creative with teaching, how to be more, how to take more risks, you know, how to do things that may not be seen as the norm, but I knew would capture the interests of young people. And that, you know, over time evolved into utilizing youth culture as the anchor for instruction. And that part came just from seeing kids outside of class just super engaged and excited, you know, their eyes lighting up and, you know, laughing and, you know, just like talking back and forth to each other and engaged, and then seeing those same kids in classrooms like falling asleep and bored. And I was like, there's something that's going on out there that I've got to be able to use. Yeah, there's got to be something different that I can employ from what they do outside of the classroom to bring into the classroom. And that kind of tells the story of my evolution as an educator.
What is wrong with that traditional approach that you started out with? I mean, why do teachers fail to kind of engage students and in particular in science?
Well, you know, traditional approaches to teaching and learning do work in certain spaces. They work when you're dealing with populations whose ways of knowing and being are aligned to those modes of instruction. So if I come from a two-parent family where I grow up seeing mom reading the newspaper and dad reading a book on his free time, and things are structured so we go to family events together and we sit together at the dining table, the nature of that kind of structured experience, that upper white middle class experience, it aligns to modes of traditional instruction. And for populations who are from backgrounds that are more traditional, traditional instruction works. The problem with the field of education is that we are dealing with a wide array of people with a wide array of cultures with various backgrounds with different socioeconomic classes. And so we cannot expect a generic approach to teaching and learning to work for everyone. The nature of teaching and learning has to accommodate different populations based on what they need to be engaged. You know, one of my favorite sayings is that students are different. The issue is to understand that different does not mean deficient. It just means that the nature of the instruction has to vary to match the cultural dispositions, the cultural needs, the cultural experiences of different populations.
A lot of your teaching focuses on kind of this idea of understanding the youth culture,
Absolutely.
Of understanding what that is. Explain what you mean by youth culture in that sense.
I mean, youth culture is, it's understanding that by virtue of being, you know, between 6 and 18 or 19, there's a certain way that you look at the world. Mm-hmm. There's a certain way that you experience the world. It's very different from the ways that those who are older do. And, you know, also, there's a certain piece of youth identity that cannot be captured by folks who are not experiencing the same things they are. There's something about that youthful angst. There's something about that youthful frustration. There's something about the altruistic nature of just caring about other people, mm-hmm. that adulthood sort of forces you to lose, you know? And I think that if teachers or parents even, I mean, my work, people oftentimes view it as, you know, this guy tells folks how to make education differently for teachers in schools. You know, I think my research and my experiences are more of ways to engage with young people to get them to expand their possibilities. That's applicable to teachers, but also to parents and also to folks in faith ministries, et cetera. It's about understanding the nuances of the culture of young people. So, and in youth culture is understanding all those dynamics, you know, where they are developmentally, where they are culturally, where they are experientially, and most importantly, what forms of culture are attuned to their ways of knowing and being. Like, what are they listening to and why are they listening to it?
What are they listening to? What is connecting with them culturally?
Music-wise, you know, I find that hip-hop is the culture of young people, even if they don't listen to hip-hop music. And there's it's a big difference between hip-hop music and hip-hop culture. I think hip-hop culture is Americana. I think youth who listen to rock music, who listen to country music, who listen to, you know, soft ballads are part of a hip-hop generation. Because what's happened with hip-hop is that hip-hop as a cultural art form has infiltrated all forms of music. You find hip-hop elements in everything. And so hip-hop, to me, it's the crux of youth culture. The music, the art, the ways of dress, the ways of knowing, the ways of seeing, being, experiencing the world. So understanding hip-hop means understanding youth culture.
When I think of science, I remember my science classes in high school. I took physics and biology and all that kind of thing. And I remember them kind of being these really experiences that were very objective. Like, there's an answer.
Yep.
And I have to, and that's it. Like, I have to get to that answer, whatever that is. And then if it changes at all, it's just another answer that then I have to get to that answer. And being
what a shame. Gosh.
Kind of removed in a sense. Yeah. And here you're taking hip hop, which is, you know, this creativity and this flow and this playfulness to it. And I'm just like, how do we get these to work together? So, how do these seemingly very different things become kind of cohesive to teach and engage students?
You know, like what you describe as seemingly variant is that's a piece that gets me, because science is so different than the way that science is taught in schools. I mean, when I think about science, I think about science when I was in schools, and I can describe it the same way that you described it.
Mm-hmm.
But when I think about science and how scientists make sense of the world, oh my God, it's beautiful. It is hip hop. There is flow.
Absolutely. All right.
Scientists are posing questions about the universe, about what they observe, and then they're going out there and finding out how and why what they think works or does not work. Scientists are going out there and sharing information with a body of other people who are also scientists and trying to convince them that the ideas work. That's not about an answer. Mm-hmm. That's about convincing folks. That's about being creative and how you come up with ideas and conjecture, you know, how you theorize concepts and how you take ideas that already existed and you remix them. You know, and try to recreate and rehash them. You know, science is about who can ask the most profound questions. And science is not about finding the right answer. Not at all.
Okay.
Science is about asking the right questions. The most prolific scientists of our time have been those who were able to ask questions that people before them didn't think. They weren't the people who gave us the finite answers. I think we've been conditioned to believe that science is this objectivist discipline, when in reality, it's very subjective. I mean, think about, you know, a scientist in a laboratory does not conduct an experiment on something that he's not interested in. You know, you have to be passionate about it first.
Yeah.
And so I think hip hop and science are so closely related. I explore these concepts in my book. So in Urban Science Education for the Hip Hop Generation, I talk about hip hop culture and I talk about science as well. But I also talk about the fact that hip hop and science are so deeply attuned. I mean, hip-hop artists speak in metaphor and analogy, and they use artistic interpretations to make sense of the environment. I mean, you know, how is that different from what a research scientist does? I think there's a big difference between school science and actual science. And unfortunately, the nature of school science is completely antithetical to the nature of science. And if we can teach young people what science truly is, they'll realize that who they are is actually synonymous with being a scientist.
And one of the ways you've tried to do that is with the project you launched last year. It's called Science Genius Battles, which stands for Bring Attention to Transforming Teaching, Learning, and Engagement in Science.
Yes.
Tell us about this project. It's really cool.
Well, you know, the Science Genius Battles is a partnership with rap icon GZA from the Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah.
And GZA is a science enthusiast. You know, he's a guy who always wanted to be a scientist. Before he wanted to be a rapper, he wanted to be a scientist. And all along, throughout his career, he's sort of incorporated science rhymes and you know, science concepts into his lyrical repertoire. And so Science Genius Battles is an effort to make the 10th grader that GZA was before he left school and decided to be a hip hopper to stay in science.
Mm-hmm.
And to do so, we began with 10 New York City public schools. We spoke to the teachers and we spoke to the principals and said, listen, we just want to come in here and give kids another way of showcasing their knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And these are kids who are deeply immersed in hip hop culture across New York City public schools. So instead of writing an assignment at the end or going and answering some boring questions at the end of class, we want them to be able to go home and write raps about the science content that they're learning in school and that are required on the state exams anyway. Okay. You know, all we're doing is giving you guys a different tool to assess this knowledge. And, you know, they said, what if the kids can't rap? If they can't rap, have them write a rhyme anyway, because writing a rhyme helps them to learn the information anyway. Do you realize the deep intellectual process that goes into, one, understanding the information, grasping that concept, and then being able to write a story about it, and then making sure that story rhymes? Everybody benefits from writing raps. And so we have the kids go out there in these schools, and they all write raps, and in each of the schools, there's a science battle. In hip-hop, the art of the battle is when you have two MCs facing off and they're rapping about each other's lives and families and mothers and if I have more money than you and if I...
Playing the dozens.
You know, they're essentially playing the dozens.
Yeah.
And so a science genius battle is kids doing... They're writing raps about science concepts and battling each other for who knows the most science content. Then we have a representative from each of the schools who is like the winner, almost following the model of the National Scripps Spelling Bee, right? So you have the spelling bee champion of your school. We have the science genius rapper of the school. And then each of the kids who rap in the school and who wins the competition, we brought them down to Columbia University, a teacher's college, and we had a citywide battle.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it was intense. You know, we had students from each of the schools coming there to represent their friends. We had scientists and rappers on stage judging. And the kids all performed, and the judges went and deliberated, and then they selected the one winner. And the one winner is a New York City science genius.
I want to take a listen to the winner now. That was Jabari Johnson, and his song was called Quest for Jewelry.
Yes.
A play on the measurement unit of jewels.
Be a man, understand you comprehending this is vital work. Equals FD, the equation for survival. Your only rival is friction. Don't get caught up in the drag. You better prepare, because obstacles fight back. When you get knocked down, no, please don't cry. Just get up and apply more force next time. One day.
That was Quest for Jewelry, the winner of the Science Genius Battles. That was, I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Listening to that is absolutely amazing. And it's, I mean, just from the lyrical standpoint alone and then the content.
Yeah.
I mean, what was the process like? What did it take for students to get to that point?
So let me tell you this. I mean, Jabari won, but there were some gifted young people
mm-hmm.
who were brilliant. And when I say gifted young people, they were kids who were in the schools who, you know, didn't win the school battle. But, you know, it's like, you know how in the spelling bee, you miss one letter?
You're done?
Yeah. There are kids who just missed being the representative from their school because of one slip up of one factual scientific, you know, detail or factoid that was lost. So the level of brilliance of young people once given the opportunity to express their knowledge and their passion for learning in a different way is mind-boggling.
You mentioned earlier that you're working on a book. Any other upcoming projects for you?
Yeah. So, you know, first and foremost is Science Genius is growing. Science Genius is hopefully going to be expanded to more cities across the United States. I'm looking to bring Science Genius to some major spaces in Michigan, hopefully. You know, thinking about Science Genius Detroit and what that might look like. Science Genius Atlanta. We have Science Genius New York. Science Genius South Africa. So that's growing. My new book, Reality Pedagogy, it's really talking about, you know, how to teach, focus on the reality of youth experiences by giving teachers really practical tools. I'm finally finishing it. It should be out this time next year. Jabari Johnson, winner of Science Genius, is going to be releasing it's called a Science Genius EP, which is a five-song album. based on science concepts. And then, you know, hip hop as a movement is growing. You know, mm-hmm. it's like, I wake up in the morning and I get emails from folks who are saying, you know, we tried this thing that we got on the hip hop ed hashtag and it's making this kind of difference in my classroom. You know, I get emails from kids saying, thank you for making me know I'm a scientist. And so I know I've stumbled upon something great. And then with a partnership with an icon like GZA, I mean, who is not just like a celebrity, you know, endorser. And this is important to note. You know, this is a guy who really believes in the power of hip hop and education. You know, this is a multi-platinum selling artist who comes into New York City public schools mm-hmm. and coaches kids on rapping, you know, and performs for them, you know, and, you know, you see this, you know, this big icon sit, you know, kids are sitting and he's on his knee, you know, looking them in the eye and telling them that they can do this. And that's essentially all the things that I'm working on. And I have my hands full.
Yeah.
But it's just the most amazing and gratifying work anyone can do.
Chris Hemden, thank you so much for stopping by and chatting.
It's an absolute pleasure to be here. And, you know, I look forward to having your audience join us on Hip Hop Ed. To even if you're not completely convinced about this being, you know, the best thing for your kid, to be a part of the conversation, because we can't move the agenda forward without having some dialogue about it. And on social media, we can have that dialogue.
Christopher Emden is an associate professor in the Department of Mathematics, Science, and Technology at the Teachers College at Columbia University. He also currently serves as the Caperton Fellow and Hip Hop Archive Fellow at the W.E.B. Du Bois Institute at Harvard University. For Current State, I'm Emmanuel Berry.